So, guys.
Yes?
We live in a society.
Well, I don't agree to that.
We live in a what?
We live in a society.
A little walkin-y, I like it, but I still don't understand what you're talking about.
Okay, this guy's a real joker now.
He's the Joker, baby!
We live in a society. Abandoned!
We live in a society.
A T.
And a 1 and a 2 and a T.
For 2. A 2 for T.
I'll take the itty, but I'll pass on the sosai. I don't want the sosai. Want a lot of itty. A lot of itty.
Is this working?
Or... Nope.
No.
Nope. Try again.
Take it from the top. Hey, guys. What has 6 thumbs and lives in a society? We have to point at her.
I point my fingers at you.
God damn it, go to the show.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero issues Comic Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Mark.
I am Bri.
And I remain Kyle. It's just Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi. Hi, Bri. Hey. Hi, Mark. Hi, welcome to
the show. If you've never listened to our show before, what are we? What do we do? We're Zero Issues Comic Book Podcast. We talk about, obviously, comic books. Comic book related things.
Mm-hmm.
Pop culture things.
We don't take it too seriously. We're a little goofy.
No. All three of us are artists.
We're all artists. We all make comic booky sort of stuff. All of our hair is thinning. We're getting older. We're not getting any younger or fresher. The days just feel real long sometimes.
We're not getting fresher.
Yeah, and you know, before
I
you know it.
I usually am in the fridge, so I stay, I have a certain freshness date that I stay attuned to.
Okay. That's good to do.
I just put myself in a Tupperware container with a little bit of water, and that keeps me pretty good.
I've tried a butter dish. Water in and then thing over top. Yeah.
Ooh.
It works.
Keeps it in there. Locks it in.
Yeah, you get one of those butter bells.
Oh.
I could need like a sealed container. It needs to be an airtight seal. I'm dying. Help me, God. I can't get air. I'm dying.
And with that, let's go to the news.
the news. Bri dead.
But still fresh.
You got to keep it fresh.
Got to keep this body fresh for my open casket funeral during a pandemic.
We all come and lick you goodbye.
As you should.
I mean, it's how I say hello, it's how I say goodbye. It's like my aloha.
Current Zero News Flash.
Just to acknowledge our society living ways, there's a new Zack Snyder Justice League trailer where the Joker says the meme. So that's what's happening now. Jared Leto is saying the meme. And that's a movie that's out in a month. Just hang tight, everybody. We're going to make it.
We'll be okay.
Yeah.
Stay in your freshness containers. We'll be okay.
Yeah, please do. Yes. Yeah. It's very tempting, especially with this sort of Damocles Snyder cut hanging above our heads. Just get in your freshness containers and go to sleep.
Get your $200 mother box meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And eat your feelings.
Get in the mother box. And soon all of your troubles will be over. Mm. Good lord.
Steppenwolf will be there to pick you up any moment.
Oh, boy. So, starting things off, instead of ending on a down note, let's start on a down note and then have a little bit more fun as time goes on.
And try to claw our way out of the grave.
Yes, please.
Yes.
In the most shocking news of all, bad people had consequences for their behavior, if you can believe it or not. First up, Gina Carano, who starred in The Mandalorian, or, you know, was a character in The Mandalorian as Cara Dune, or Cara, I don't know, I forget how you pronounce her name. She has recently just came out, I guess, that okay, to back up a little bit, so she'd make a lot of sort of controversial statements, let's say, online on social media. A lot, yes, of sort of transphobic mockery, a lot of like anti-science, anti-vaccine, anti-mask stuff, and had made a few comments that were pretty anti-Semitic or downplayed the Holocaust, just not good. So she has been let go, or her contract hasn't been renewed, or whatever you want to call it. So Disney literally came out with a statement saying that, calling her comments abhorrent, which, usually when you part ways with somebody, you might not use such strong language, but, she's pretty done.
Yeah, that's fair.
She's getting ready to star with Kevin Sorbo and Dean Cain in some classic films.
Hasn't she been picked up by some movie that Ben Shapiro is directing?
Yeah, that can only be great.
Noted director Ben Shapiro,
the guy whose career in whatever he does was started by being too terrible a writer for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Next up, though, more and very troubling, this one, Joss Whedon, who had already... There'd been controversy for years. There's been some sort of like vague statements about his behavior in general. And obviously the Justice League reshoot thing, the controversy with like Ray Fisher coming out against him and stuff, which... and so Charisma Carpenter, who played Cordelia in Buffy and Angel, came out with kind of a two posts, like a long kind of summary, a very specific and detailed summary of his behavior on set, basically, over the years. He was very abusive, like emotionally abusive and controlling, and had just been pretty horrible to her when she became pregnant. Basically, like, asked her if she was going to keep it.
And told her she was getting fat.
Yeah, and said that, you know, and then basically her time on the show was cut very short and very awkwardly. I remember watching at the time and being like, what happened? Like, why did they do that? It just mm-hmm. didn't make any sense. So, yeah, very punitive, which is really, yeah, I mean, like, obviously that behavior is the worst of all, but we're used to, like, directors and writers maybe not behaving super great behind the scenes. Like, a lot of those people can be pretty abusive, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this particular case, that it made the show
Stanley
worse.
Kubrick!
Like, yeah. Exactly. But then most of the cast of those shows have come out in overwhelming support for her, and also pretty troubling, Michelle Trachtenberg, who played Dawn, who is Buffy's little sister, made some comment about his just basically inappropriate behavior when she was young, and there was apparently some rule that he could not be alone in the room with her.
Yeah.
So whatever that, I mean, it's not our business, whatever that entails, but I mean, like, that's very bad. Regardless, so yeah, so I mean,
yeah, that does not sound good.
I have to assume he is done, and he should be. And again, I've been Buffy's like, I love Buffy and Angel. I'm like, I've been a big fan of a lot of the stuff he did, but who cares? Those are TV shows, and these are human lives. So
absolutely,
get rid of them.
Yeah, you can be a creative person without being a dick.
Exactly.
You need to be called on it, and that's basically the end of the discussion.
Yeah, and a lot of abusive people, I think, you know, by design, kind of put themselves into situations where they're going to be able to get away with it. And that kind of a role, if there's no oversight, if there's no consequences, which frequently there aren't, that's, you know, they put themselves into positions where they can behave that way. And it's, yeah, there's got to be zero tolerance for that, obviously. So that sucks.
While we're speaking of consequences, artist Joe Bennett has been accused of putting anti-Semitic imagery into Immortal Hulk number 43. If you haven't seen this bit, it's a weird thing. It's like there's a couple characters go into a jewelry store, and so it's just like the reflection in the window or something, like in the background. It's supposed to be like Cronenberg's jewelry, and he spelt Cronenberg a bit wrong, but instead of jewelry, he put jewelry, which is very troubling. And he's got a bit of a history.
Yeah, is this the guy that did stuff with X-Men artist before?
I don't think it was the X-Men thing. He was a different one.
There was somebody else. I don't know the name offhand.
Ardiaf Sayaf was the number one.
And it must be said, too, on the window in the Hulk issue, there was also like a Star of David symbol directly underneath.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know how you
Well, Why would you do that, though?
This,
like, what is the goal there?
Well, but there has been some talk, because he's Brazilian, he's never been to the States, apparently, that he just was like, well, aren't all jewelry stores, like, Jewish? And that's a Star of David.
Doesn't make it better.
It's like, yeah, it's like, well, that's cumbersome and whatever. But then there's also, like, he's been drawing primarily for Marvel since 1994, mm-hmm. and he's had controversy in the past. In 2019, there was a gay journalist, Glenn Greenwald, was assaulted by far-right journalist. Bennett said that Greenwald should have been punched rather than slapped. So he apologized and deleted his comment, but at the same time, it's like, you're developing a pattern, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think his excuse for it first, he did put out like an apology and stuff, but he said like he was writing the text backwards because it was put like the inside of a building on the window. But it's like, because he misspelled Cronenberg also, but it's,
yeah,
like,
he also misspelled Cronenberg,
you know, there's a way that you can see it the other way around by flipping the image, or if you're drawing on paper, a little fun thing called a mirror could help, yeah, you with that.
Or the new fact invention. That like, how many fucking people got that thing and inked over top of it and, yeah, colored it and, yeah, edited, yeah, it. And I've, like, nobody caught that. That's pretty stupid.
That's is not it,
like,
ideal.
That's the editor's job.
Yeah.
That is,
yeah,
literally the description of your job, is to catch shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So anyways, let's get off that. Let's purge the bad. Let's get to,
yeah,
some,
let's
good
hear some
stuff.
Good
I'll
comic
quickly
news.
Go through this. We, ooh, have some actual comic, ooh, news. Newest member of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and at this point, who hasn't been a member of the Guardians,
Bri,
of the Galaxy, will be Bri hasn't been a Guardian of the Galaxy, but he will be. You
soon.
Never know.
I want to get off this damn
May,
planet
I,
already.
I think all my news comes, all this stuff comes out around May. This, I think, is issue number 13. Dr. Doom, mm-hmm, is apparently going to become a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. In the lead up, this is Al Ewing is the writer and Juan Frigeri is the artist. The Galactic Council has deputized the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they need to apparently widen their reach, I guess, or something. So they're expanding the team or having multiple teams or whatever they're doing.
They should put another white guy on there.
Yeah, really. Let's go steal another white guy from Earth.
Speaking of which,
so
who else is back?
Somehow Dr. Doom plays into it. He's been very, Ewing's been very coy about how Doom plays in this. But also, mm-hmm, returning is a Zero Issues favorite. The one, the only, the only superhero named Wendell, I believe.
That's
Wendell,
right,
Vaughn. Quasar.
Another white guy from Earth.
And, I'm gonna hold him up. I got my Quasar action figure from Kyle right
there
here. And
go.
Actually, and I have toys around my desk all the time. And it's you know, ridiculous. But I also have this guy. So together at last.
Dr. Doom.
You're developing a Guardian's shelf.
Yeah, I know.
Accidentally.
I may also have a Rocket Raccoon around here somewhere. It's very strange.
Do you have an Iron Man in that really ugly sort of sun-looking armor?
Absolutely not.
That's
under no circumstances.
I know what somebody's getting for Christmas. Weed.
Okay, also coming out in May, a well-loved title that has been started and ended and started and ended hundreds of times. The Defenders are coming back. The Marvel's non-team, as they're called.
They love non.
Cast regular Doctor Strange is apparently in it, and that's all we know for sure. There's a cover that has been kind of released, and it's Doctor Strange on the cover, and I guess he's looking through like, who's going to be on the team and what's going on? And behind him is a character named Masked Raider, who is an obscure Golden Age character that last popped up in Marvel Comics number 1000.
Right.
And apparently they were bringing him back. He was going to have some pivotal role in the Marvel Universe,
and then
to come.
They forgot.
He had the Eternity Mask, and then they forgot.
Like, oh,
I don't
shit,
know.
Do something with
he
him,
had the
quick.
Eternity Mask on, which, yeah, I don't know if it's like a Doctor Fate or a kind of cosmic-y Captain Universe sort of thing, but apparently No one's seen him.
Yeah, so Masked Rider, the Power Rangers spinoff that was an English version of Kamen Rider.
Finally. Not Kamen Rider, though, specifically Masked Rider. Saban,
and also Masked not the Rider. Band Kamen Rider. Though check them out, too. They're pretty good. Sorry, news?
Also coming out in May, Dark Riders. a team of...
So many riders.
I know. That was not on purpose. A team of monstrous mutants led by Magic, like of New Mutants Magic, will debut in May's X-Men Curse of the Man-Thing. Man-Thing's making a big comeback. He seems to be popping up like little guest spots and little weird spots left, right, and center.
Man-Thing's making a big comeback. He's got a trunk. He's got two trunks. So,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Nightcrawler.
Vegetable growth. in Magic's Dark Riders of Month, these are monstrous mutants, so it's going to include Marrow, Forearm, Shark Girl, Wolf Cub, and Mammomax.
I don't know Wolf Cub. Silence. I assume they're a wolf.
No.
Oh.
No.
They're an elephant. And yes. Mammomax is a mammam.
It's just a mutant with the power to pull his like spine out. It's not helpful. It's just gross. It's just like, I can pull my spine out. Why are you called Wolf Cub? I can pull my spine out.
And then I'm going to beat you with my spine.
Wolf Cub's a lovely boy.
Good boy. Good boy.
Of course, Mammomax is a big elephant man.
Mm-hmm.
And that is extremely stupid and extremely cool.
Forearm. Wasn't that... That was created by Liefeld, wasn't it?
Probably.
I
feel like it was part of that group that was like the Externals, or I don't know.
I know he's got the sort of wrestling headgear that a lot of Liefeld characters have.
The Shatterstar look, yeah.
He's also got four hands. He's got four arms, and assumedly four hands, but you never see all four of them in a picture.
They're always behind rubble. Mm-hmm. There's just rubble all around.
He's always on the ground, pressing on the ground behind something.
Yeah. Or his hands are in his four pockets. In summation, Forearm sucks. I can't wait to read this. Forearm, you're a joke.
Great.
Welcome to the warm-up.
WandaVision! All right, so we are doing, like, every couple weeks, the whole WandaVision mystery thing as this goes along and things come out, and every episode is a wonder to behold, as it
is.
Pretty crazy stuff.
We're 2/3 through now. Like, we're going to, like, the last act the next, starting Friday.
This was, like, what, episodes 5 and 6 that just passed?
Yeah.
And the big thing being, the return of Pietro.
Sort of.
The return of the better one. One thing. Well,
he got more screen time.
That's true. He wasn't anything like comics Pietro, really, like the Fox universe Quicksilver, but I mean, just those scenes were like the best parts of those movies.
Totally, yeah. And I guess before we should go any further, if you have not seen WandaVision, please go to
hell.
Insert time signature, because there will be spoilers.
I guess we already dropped a big hot spoiler with the Pietro thing, but everybody, like, listen, you couldn't avoid that. Forget it. The second that happened, everybody knew.
Yes, a lot going on, and then in the episode 6, like, really kind of delving into that. I think it's really interesting how they're playing her. Scarlet Witch and Pietro, they know, they're completely aware that things are not right.
Yeah, the more this goes on, the more everyone sort of becomes aware, or at least Wanda and like the main cast becomes aware that like something definitely isn't right, and we don't know what exactly it is.
Yeah, and there seems to be certain characters like what's his name, Herb.
Yeah.
Is one of those characters. Right. Like in this one, in 6, he's dressed up. It's the Halloween episode. He's dressed up as Frankenstein. And he's like, said something like, Do you want me to do that again, or do you want me to say something of that sort?
Do you want anything changed?
And it's been done a couple of times. Yeah, do you want anything changed? Like, that sort of thing. Like, in the last one, I think it was like, do you want me to take that take again?
That was Agnes.
Agnes.
But episode four, when he was sort of stuck chainsawing through the fence, and yeah, he knows something's up.
But it seems like certain characters are a little more aware than other ones, because there's that Vision did his little finger trick into the temples, into the one character, one of his office mates, and it was like suddenly like broke out of it and was screaming in terror as if they're all aware of what's going on, but they're just being trapped inside. And Pietro even acknowledging that, like, wow, like, I'm impressed. Like, and not playing it down or playing like, stop doing this. He's like, whoa, I'm totally impressed. Like, you're controlling everybody. This is amazing.
Almost feels like slightly a House of M nod in a way, because he was sort of like behind that, where he's just like, I'm not judging this. This is fine. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind, or he's, you know, very possibly not Pietro at all.
I'm really hoping that he is. I want that character back.
I agree.
Well, a lot of people have been talking that this is the way that they introduce mutants.
Right.
And kind of start setting things up, like to have the other universe come in, or just introduce the idea of mutants or whatever, on a couple of different levels of like, whether it's somebody suggested that Wanda's going to start creating the first mutants, like the ones that come out of this could be the first mutants, or
I mean, they feel more like warpies, if anything. Remember warpies?
Yeah. Well, warpies.
It's again, no, comma, more mutants.
Well, and the idea that she just wants her brother back, and then like reaches out and finds the wrong one. But even he, because it kind of acknowledging almost that he's the wrong one, he's even said, "Wow, your brother like really suppressed his memories or something like that." It's like, what? Okay. Like, he's acknowledging this sort of thing, but still playing along.
Well, it's like he seems to know some things of like that world's Pietro and everything, but it's very kind of like vague and off, where it just doesn't seem quite right. Like, he doesn't really know, maybe, and it's sort of being put into his head or something potentially. Right.
Or he's remembering like slightly like the whole thing when they were kids and went trick or treating, but she didn't quite remember that.
And he dressed like Nick Fury for some reason.
Yeah.
Well-known person.
One thing I did notice, somebody noticed too. So there's a lot of things going on. Obviously there's a ton of stuff going on, but on the mutants line, in when they're going through what's his face, Haywood, is that his name? The sword, the guy in charge of sword. They're going through his files, the sword files, and there's a file for somebody named for Ray Johnson, which is an alias for John Wraith from Weapon X, famously or infamously played by Will.i.am in the best Wolverine movie there is.
Awesome.
Bring him in. Don't, please don't. I hate that guy.
Do it. Do it. Actually, while we're talking about Hayward, he kicks out Darcy and Monica and Jimmy when kind of confronted by them. And there's the idea of like, what is he hiding? They break back in, and Darcy's breaking into the files. And in those files, there's like Operation Cataract, which cataract blurs your vision.
I'll blur your vision.
He seems to focus on Vision quite a bit. He's tracking only Vision by the decaying vibranium in him inside there. It's been kind of hinted that Sword might have had Vision's body and that she went in and took it out. So were they working on something to create something? Are they using Vision or the vibranium to build something? The idea of maybe he's the MCU equivalent of X-Men's Trask. Is he building Sentinels, maybe?
Ooh, that's interesting.
That sort of, so it's like he maybe post-blip, everybody freaked out. He was freaking out because they all have to, universe is gone, and starts like building up and wants to start building an arsenal against these sort of.
Right, against anything that could kill all or half of the life in the universe.
So some people have said maybe he's the big baddie. Maybe he is Mephisto. I don't know if that's – I can't
– I feel like he's being set up as a false as like a red herring, because it's kind of too like, obvious.
He's a different kind of baddie. Yeah. Like he's going to be like a Trask where he's like, no, he's a regular dude, but is doing bad things, but he's not Mephisto level baddie. Yeah.
It's a well-established pattern in the MCU, and one might say real life, that these old dudes in charge of these, you know, surveillance, whatever, these military operations turn out to be the villain pretty much every time. You got Pierce in Winter Soldier, you have, what do you call it? I forget the character's name in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You have, like, that happens pretty regularly, so... Could just be another one of those.
And this show's been pretty smart so far, so I feel like they might play off that trope, and but then take it in a different direction. But there's Agnes. It was weird with Agnes being looking like she had been controlled, and she was on the edge of town, and Vision kind of comes up and has to do the little buzz thing in her head in order to click her out. When she's already popped in and out of character, it seems on will, but suddenly now she needs that. I've seen some people suggest, and I kind of agree, that maybe that's a ploy on her part, because she suggests, she's like, how, like, am I dead? Oh, why would you think so? Because you are. So maybe she's saying this to plant in.
And you notice the phrasing, it's not you died, it's you're dead. So, like, is that character done? Yeah. I mean, we have to wait to find out.
Well, then he goes through the barrier, but can't quite escape it, and is getting pulled back, and... half destroyed by it, so
that's the first time that has happened, though. Others can sort of go through it and just like he's like literally like he was like coming apart like magically almost or something. Like it didn't look like how anything that we've seen, I don't think, unless I've missed something. It was very interesting.
No, not at all. I do have to mention the Kick-Ass thing.
Yeah. That was cute.
Kick-Ass was mentioned twice. Like,
cross-universe
meta thing going on. Just the fact that both Quicksilvers in each universe were in Kick-Ass, and she makes a point of saying Kick-Ass. And it's like...
That's funny.
All right, there's a nod. That's funny, yeah.
How about you let Uncle P help you maximize your candy acquisition, huh?
Yeah, Kick-Ass!
I feel the need!
Bust me!
Ow!
Kick-Ass.
I love the whole Malcolm in the Middle thing, just because... I mean,
yes.
I love Malcolm in the Middle. And it was spot on. And I hope They Might Be Giants got some money for that. I don't think they did, but it'd be nice if they did.
Probably not. Because
they deserve it.
That the intros were great. Like, even, like, the episode 5 was, like, it was just family ties. But, I mean, like, man, such attention to detail. Even the way they shot, like, the episode. Like, they always capture that so well. But, like, the Malcolm in the Middle vibe was, like, bang on. It was so good.
I mean, they own that now, right?
What they don't do they?
I mean, it was a Fox thing. Yeah.
They own everything.
True. And I got to say, I enjoyed seeing, like, kind of the classic costumes and sort of Halloween costume style. But it must be said, the headdress, Wanda's headdress, was especially great, to the point where I'm like, you gonna keep using that? You can keep using that. It looked good.
We'll see.
But you know what? Like, they've updated it in the comics. She had her own series for a bit, and they made it look... like more Roma, that sort of design, like with it, like just like jewelry and things. I was like, oh, you could actually, because it's a quirky, goofy design to start with, but depending on how you use it, like, it actually looks pretty good. But quickly, the commercial thing has been in every
bit. This one
was
weird.
Like,
the last one
seems to have like a nod. This one was very weird. Yeah. So it was like a playoff Yoplait yogurt and the shark giving the kid the yogurt that he couldn't open and he dies.
Yeah, it's like most of these commercials have been pretty straight. Like, you know that there's something else going on.
And also
on,
very specific references to, like, Wanda's traumas, but this one seemed like it was more like it was a little boy, right? So it seems like one of the kids, if anything, and it didn't seem to be referencing anything, like, from the movies.
I saw one interpretation that I was like, oh, that could be close, was the idea of the island is Westview. And she's that character, and somebody's given her, like, oh, like, here's, like, oh, you can have all of this. Here's the food and whatever, but there's always a bit of a trick, and he can't open it, so then dies. And it's
Yo Magic.
What is it called? Yo Magic.
Right.
Yo Magic. So it's, like, that whatever creature is siphoning the magic off her, which could be a nod to several, like, whether it's Mephisto or Nightmare.
Or a shark with a surfboard.
Or whatever. Or a shark with a surfboard. What did we say? Shark Girl? That could be.
Scarlet Witch's main nemesis from the comics.
Well, I mean, he is totally radical.
Yeah.
I did see one mention of it, of a theory. Like, we've been at, there's the usual suspects of like Mephisto and what, Nightmare, Dormammu, Kree, Wanda herself. One that I hadn't seen mentioned until now was K'thon, which is like an elderly god, one of the elder gods, created the Darkhold magic book, is like the holder of chaos magic, and has in the comics a ton of links to Wanda and Quicksilver both. He's been in, what, like Avengers 187, did like a big thing taking, possessing Wanda, was in Secret Avengers, possessed Quicksilver in Dark Reign, and apparently is the creator in the comics of witches, vampires, and werewolves. So that could be a link to like a offshoot to Blade, Moon Knight, like all these other creatures.
John Jameson.
So, yes. Thank you. Do you want the, what is it? The astronaut engineer?
Oh, that Monica was talking to,
Yeah.
Like a contact?
That's one of the big mysteries. Who could that be? And I'm using the wrong term. It wasn't astronaut engineer, was it?
No, it was some sort of engineer.
I know an aerospace engineer who'd be up for this challenge.
Yeah, it's not Reed Richards, because of course it's not Reed Richards. It's not Reed Richards. If you play this next Friday.
Or could it be Victor Von Doom?
Oh.
You could plant the seeds.
It could, I mean, no, there he is. It could be anybody.
There it is.
Could be anybody.
What some, I did see some, one person suggest was Monica in Captain Marvel when she was a kid befriended that other Kree kid, or Skrull kid.
Who right.
Could have easily grown up in that whole sword system and become
true,
like some sort of engineer, like
a sword ward.
Yeah. A ward of the sword.
Yeah, I like it.
Anyway,
that's a cool name for a book. Wards of the Sword. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ward of the Sword.
Oh yeah.
Pitching it on title alone. But yeah, I mean, two more good episodes, two more to go.
Yeah.
So in a couple weeks' time, we might have our final thoughts.
Yeah.
Unless there is a secret ninth episode. I mean, we'll see.
Who knows? I think the next few episodes are all supposed to be an hour each. So
Yeah. I'm glad that they kept things short early on and kind of get them a little bit longer as it goes. That was well done.
Yeah. Let's keep it going.
What the f***?
All right, so it is a few days after Valentine's Day. So in honor of...
Free chocolate!
In honor
chocolate's
of... Chocolate's
on sale.
In honor of cheap chocolate, let's get giddy over this week's topic, which is... Say it with me now.
Cheap chocolate.
Cheap chocolate.
We're going to talk about breakups and matchups that we'd like to see or maybe not like to see. I don't know, depending on how we go. What the idea was, we're each going to take a couple or two, like famous comic book couples, break them up, and then, you know, have them go with somebody else and explain how that goes.
Okay.
So we made a list of these. The one that I want to start off with is Black Bolt and Medusa. Who are, you know, they're the king and queen of the Inhumans, even though Black Bolt has five other wives or something like that.
What?
One is a horse lady. This was Hickman stuff.
I don't know
that
stuff.
This is Hickman stuff.
Okay. All right.
In human society, there's a lot of troubling aspects, I think.
They live in a society on the moon. But yeah, so I wanted to break them up and see how it goes. I think Black Bolt... immediately, and I don't know the circumstances of the breakup. I don't know what happened, and you know what, that's none of my GD business. But I think Black Bolt, after so many years with Medusa, I think he's gonna swing the exact opposite and hook up with Moondragon, famously bald Moondragon, and you know, just see
full
what that's
hair,
like
no
for
hair.
A bit.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He just spends so much time just rubbing her head.
And he says, it's so smooth, and her face gets blown off.
Yeah, it just blows her head off.
It's so...
I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to talk. Oh my god, I did it again. Oh, I did it again.
Oh,
oh my
shit,
god.
I said fuck. Oh fuck, is it shit?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Just can't help himself with the bald, bald lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Nothing's balder than a skull. And I think Medusa, after so many years being seen as merely a queen to a king, I think she'd just get in touch with herself, you know, who she really is. Like, who is Medusa? She's got wicked hair, and at one point she was a member of the Frightful Four, but that was brainwashing. And like, you know, what makes her tick? And is that knitting? We're going to find out. You know what? It's probably not.
She starts a self-help show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Life Coaching with Medusa.
Mm. Oh. She's, I mean, it's her first one. It's not a great name.
No. Yeah.
She's knitting a big scarf, but her hair gets mixed in with the wool, and it's just a big problem.
It's a whole Sylvester the Cat situation.
Yeah.
And like, I made you a scarf, and it's stuck to her head. Oh, God.
Well, she's stuck to it now. That's her scarf now. She has to wear it all the time because she has no other option. She's a scarf lady. She's living her life.
Scarf lady. Do you think she gets banged?
She doesn't control hair. She just controls scarves.
Yeah.
Now she's a Doctor Who character.
Doctor what?
All right, so my turn?
Your turn.
Yes.
I took the classic Sue Storm and Reed Richards.
But they're so good together.
Do I really need to go over why they would break up? Because Reed is horrible. Reed's horrible to her. Always has been. Like, makes up for it. It's like a horrible husband that just like, oh shit, sorry. I swear to God, I'll make you dinner after I go to this dimension. She leaves. I focused mainly on Sue because Reed is just gonna...
He'll be fine. He has science. In.
Yeah, he has, exactly.
He has science and lean cuisines.
That's it.
I was married to science.
Dr. Lonely Hearts, chemistry meals for one.
We've been through this.
I work too much. I realize that now. I'm learning to have more fun. See? Look. Hey.
I mean, and frankly, speaking as a husband, I mean, we do spend a lot of time in dimensions. What are you supposed to do?
That's true. So she leaves and wants to get away from the Reed type.
Yeah.
So she goes as far away from that as possible and hooks up with Thor. Now, I've done two different versions of this. I've done the 60s version and the modern version. So if it was in the 60s, in the classic comics then, she would have been brought to Asgard and brought before Odin, and Odin would have made some petty mortal comment to her or something. But then eventually Jane Foster would have gotten wind of this, and like Baldur would have whisked her to Asgard to confront this other temptress sort of thing. The two of them would have like had to come to blows or try to kill each other, battling for Thor's love as Thor just like leans back with an ale in his hand.
This does sound like the 60s. Women. You're right.
Yeah, it's totally. Yeah. It's,
this
that's exactly
does
what they would
rule.
Have done.
Thor as played by John Hamm.
But in the end, because it is like a 60s one, Sue would have come around and been like, you know what? I loved Reed all along, and would have returned to him because it's the 60s. They wouldn't have broken that up. But the modern version, and right now, like Thor is King Thor. So Thor would have taken Sue as his queen. She would be Queen Storm.
Mm, cool.
But during like some War of the Realms or something, Queen Storm would have been put through some sort of quest and forever changed through some sort of twisted events. Maybe Loki's doing. She ends up killing Hela, and she becomes the new Hela.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
She's Hela, Big Bad Storm.
Ah. See, I feel like I want Odin to also, in the modern day, I don't know, Odin's probably...
Odin's dead.
He's having one of his deaths. You know, it's fine. He'll be back.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's also, of course, a dick to her. even in the modern day, but like modern Sue would just like, every time he's like, now I leave my throne room, invisible wall just walks right into it.
Yeah.
Every time he like turns around, he's like, what?
I know. The whole time I'm thinking that, I'm like, Sue Storm probably could have taken on everybody in Asgard and won.
She's hella
like,
powerful.
Oh, we've
hella
got this powerful. Invisible bubble over my head. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Oh, I've got a bubble in my brain. Oh my God, I'm dead.
Ugh.
Just, you know, like an invisible field over every flagon of ale. You go to drink and blonk.
No.
Every cup is a trick cup. She's queen in a week.
She should have hooked up with Black Bolt and she maybe could have survived him.
Yeah, force field could withstand. Yeah,
That feels like a what if.
Yeah.
If it's not already, so like, give it time. It will be.
Yeah, really.
And if you thought Reed was like the worst person to be married to, Black Bolt, ugh. Ugh, that's bad. So I have given myself one that hurts my soul. I've challenged myself with one that I hate. I hate this. I don't like want to be doing this, but I'm doing it. Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson, or Watson Parker, if you're
nasty.
From a previous continuity.
If you're nasty, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna break them up. I like them together, but you know, it's happened before. Their relationship has been relatively off and on. They have their trouble spots. They have a hard time, I think, dealing with each other sometimes. So, you know, unfortunately it happened again. So Peter, he's going to find himself somehow hooked up with, through some adventure, I'm sure, with Jean Grey. Now, let's be real. For both Jean and Peter, they're both each other's type. We know this physically, I think. You know, it's like, the handsome brunette guy, the redhead. So they might have an initial attraction. She would pick up on it just because she's Jean Grey. And, you know, I feel like he would be good for her, I think, because I think he has some personality stuff that might have drawn her to Scott. But without the absolutely, like, he's neurotic, but he is not Scott Summers. Scott Summers is...
Right, the Ditko sort of got turned down at some point.
Yeah, they turned down the Ditko for sure. So he's a little more well-adjusted.
Turn down the Ditko. We're not Ditkoing the whole outside. If you're going to close the door.
So, so he's some of the same stuff that drew her to Scott also draws her to Peter. He's more well-adjusted. He's a little more, maybe a little more fun, maybe a little more, maybe a better balance for her. Him at the same time, too, he's a very neurotic guy. But he's got somebody who, one, is a psychic who can maybe sort of pick up on his struggles and maybe help him a little in some subtle ways. And two, whenever he's just like, oh, my Uncle Ben, everyone who's died, she's just like, I got taken over by a cosmic force and wiped out a planet. So maybe just, you don't have to feel that guilty. Maybe you're all right. And maybe they help each other.
Or she just wipes that memory from his head. Can you just wipe that from my head, honey?
Yeah.
Whoop, thank you.
There you go. It depends on what time it is.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna Mary Jane. I'm gonna give a happy ending to as well.
You wanna play me hard?
Phrasing.
No, I don't.
Well, then you better nut up.
Phrasing.
Because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
Hey, phrasing.
Or give, make her, well, okay, come on, you guys.
You're the one that said it. You said it.
I didn't mean it like that. Hey, listen.
Well, let's find out what you meant.
So, she's gonna find herself drawn to somebody else. Like, sometimes they try to hook her up with other characters or sort of tease, like when it was like, oh, maybe she's gonna date Tony Stark. I'm like, no, that's horrible. However, maybe she can make it work with Hawkeye. Because, you know, he's also kind of a hard luck guy that she tends to get roped to. But he's, you know, Peter Parker's a little, you know, he had a hard life, but he also kind of grew up in a nice house in Queens with a nice aunt and uncle. He grew up pretty wholesome. Hawkeye has lived a rougher life. He's had some harder struggles that maybe sort of match, you know, because Mary Jane had a rougher life than Peter growing up as a kid. So they might be able to sort of connect on that level. And again, he's a lovable screw-up.
A lovable screw-up. I like it.
Yeah.
I want her to be happy. I want her to be happy, and I don't know that he can make her happy. But, you know, he'll try his damnedest.
He'll try his damnedest. Mm. And I mean, I feel
one
like
one pizza at a time.
And he has that dog.
Yep.
There's a reason she keeps her and Peter keep getting back together, because, you know, he makes her life a lot harder a lot of the times, not on purpose, but he keeps trying, and I feel like Hawkeye's got that, but he's also...
I thought it was Stockholm Syndrome.
The Green Goblin isn't trying to... Nobody cares enough about Hawkeye, so he doesn't... Like, Dr. Octopus and the Green Goblin aren't going to try to kill his girlfriend every time. Like,
right.
He
has, I found like, out that Hawkeye vampires. Is secretly Clint Barton. Who cares?
Like, he's Hawkeye, whatever. Like, her life actually would probably be less in danger.
Yeah. Can I do another one?
Absolutely.
All right. Yes.
I wanna break up one of my favorite couples in comics, Apollo and the Midnighter. You know what? I really read a ton since like the old Stormwatch and old Authority stuff. I think the first like 5 or 6 issues of the new 52 Stormwatch. Not great. Didn't like it. Didn't love it. I know
sure,
there's,
didn't like it.
There's been a good amount of Midnighter stuff since. Not as much Apollo stuff, but I really like them just because they're both super, super powerful and they get along great. And they're just a happy couple for the most part.
It just works.
Yeah. They have split up before, so there is some precedent. You know, maybe they're taking a break. They're taking a pause so they can both do their own 4-issue miniseries.
We need to go find ourselves and other people.
That's right. So Apollo is just going to stick to other Batman analog characters. So he's going to hook up with Nighthawk and Moon Knight and Daredevil and Night Thrasher. He's going to jump to the Marvel Universe, and just they're rife with Batman. And you know, just going to have himself a grand old time.
It's a Batman knockoff buffet, and he's coming back for fourths.
Yeah. and speaking of coming back, Midnighter also going to be doing a bit of that. But he's had a Superman. He doesn't need another Superman. So he's gonna bang his way through the Bat family, and he's not gonna stop till he gets to Alfred.
To Alfred.
And at that point, he's gonna be like, "All right, I'm good." I thought I could see the way that this was going to play out, as is my power, but I did not expect that.
No.
And then they get
Once
back
you
together
go Alfred,
at the end.
You never go back. It's true.
They get back together. They have their little rumspringas, and they got it out of their system. And everyone has a great story to tell.
Yeah.
There we go.
Except Daredevil, who will
and
tell no
life,
one because
their
of the
life
Catholic
is richer.
Guilt.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He's now blind and deaf.
And he doesn't have a sense of smell either.
No, thank God. Okay, I got one last one here. Miracle Man and Big Barda. Big Burger. They split because Barda accidentally crushes Scott. He could escape anything but love.
Oh.
And Kegels.
So the Kegels. Apocalyptic Kegels.
Oh jeez!
Oh my! I had a joke about that later. Actually, distraught, she starts wandering the world. She's been twisted into like a hateful warrior on Apocalypse. She was freed by Mr. Miracle's love and found a new life, only to have her inner violence and strength end it all, possibly in the throes of love. I don't know. Who's to know? This is, of course, written by Tom King. In a confusing, strange way.
Lots of jumping back and forth.
Through her travels.
Lots
yeah,
of
exactly.
nine-panel
like,
grid layouts.
What is going on? Yeah, I don't know what's going on, even though it seems very straightforward. Through her travels, she enters all these mysterious lands, strange land of heroes and villains, gods and monsters, like the places she knows, but like a different universe, possibly the Marvel Universe. And it's there she encounters an outrageous, audacious, cocky prick by the name of Hercules.
Ooh.
They seem to click. They love to battle. Either of them are almost impervious, so much strength, and they just his cheery demeanor just wins her over at first. But his womanizing and self-preoccupation soon drive her away. So then she starts to kind of work her way through the Marvel Universe. There's like Logan, but the cigar smoke and the cheap beer just drive her away. Cap, He's too much of a Boy Scout for her.
He's so square.
He's so square. Doesn't get any of my references. Wonder Man, he could just never look her in the eye.
Oh. Visine.
Visine never cleared that up. You got
no,
this
no.
red eye.
Tragically, no.
Every time I take pictures of you, it's so red eye.
And crackly.
But she eventually is like, maybe I need to get away from that type. And she eventually hooks up with Rick Jones.
I mean, that
just a regular
guy. Very much brings her back to Scott Free. Just a regular guy.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Just a regular guy.
Really good
guy.
At getting out yep. of stuff.
She wants a quiet life. None of this superhero bullshit. And just, you know, settle down with Rick Jones. Because nothing ever happens to Rick Jones.
Nothing. Nothing bad. Death by Snoo Snoo.
Yeah, and Scott Free is dead due to crushed pelvis. So we had a couple more written down that we were just going to sort of bounce around back and forth. But you know what? This episode is already long enough as it is. Let's not.
Yes. Let's save that for later.
You got things to do and nowhere to be. Yeah. So
if you, the listener, have ideas and your own weird takes on it, send them to us. Maybe we'll read them out.
That's a great idea and a great segue into the end of the show. So if you want to send those to zeroissues@gmail.com, is that it?
I think it's zeroissues.
I don't know.
Zeroissuespodcast@gmail.com, or, you know, find us on any of our social media things.
Maybe like a Facebook message. A Facebook message or Instagram might be your best bet.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, whisper it to the wind and the wind will carry it to us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. As always, thanks to Ocean City Defender, KP Merkley, for all the music and interstitial stuff. You can check him out under Ocean City Defender. Just Google that, not the game, the music. Find all the stuff he's done. Great stuff. For us, I am Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca. Merk on Facebook, Merkanaut Like Astronaut on Instagrams.
Bri, go.
I am Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. It's about Hereafter, and you're welcome to read it.
You're welcome to it.
I have nothing. Welcome to
it's
it.
It's a hell of an elevator.
And my name is Kyle Lees. You can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com or the Kyle Lees shop on Instagram. And if you want to see all of our stuff in person, I believe the upstairs of the Thunder Bay Country Market has opened again by the time this episode comes out.
Yes, the day of this episode coming out, part of the pandemic lockdown stuff has lifted. There's, of course, still all the safety measures in place, but I will be back on Wednesday to
man the booth. Yeah, you can check out all our stuff.
We're upstairs at the Octilius Studios upstairs.
So, hey, happy late Valentine's Day, everybody. And happy birthday, Jerry. It's Jerry's birthday. Happy birthday, Jerry. All right, we'll see you next week, Jerry.
Yay!
Bye.
I'm really hoping that there's one Jerry listening and it is their birthday.
We just need the one Jerry.
That would just make me real happy.
Blow their
good
mind.
Good old Jerry.
Good old Jer. Okay, hit and stop.